Welcome to Wiregrass Ways, a celebration of the heritage and traditions of South Georgia. Wiregrass Ways is a production of WWET Valdosta, Peach State Public Radio.
Cane, 90% of cane is made in the field. The grade is made in the field. The other 10% is made when you're cooking.
Inez Polk of Willacoochee learned the art of making cane syrup from his father. Several years ago, he taught his daughter-in-law, Linda Polk, who now runs Puddin Creek Cane Syrup. Not too long ago, nearly every farmer made syrup for his own use or as a cash crop. These days, the number of producers has dropped dramatically. Linda Polk.
The reason I started making syrup, I thought this was dying art. Nobody's making syrup anymore, and I wanted my children to see syrup being made. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law had even quit making it. Mm-hmm.
Many people remember the cane grindings of their youth as social occasions.
Back then, when most of the farmers would delay us cooking, they would cook it down the candy and have a candy puller. The sweethearts would all come, you know, and girls and boys would pull candy.
Back then, as children, it was sort of a party thing. You'd two or three days of syrup making. All the aunts, uncles, cousins would come, and it was an all-day thing. You get up before daylight, go out there and catch some mule, and go out there and start grinding the first kettle of juice.
In her girlhood, a mule powered the cane mill. These days, Linda uses an electric-powered grinder.
And she's grinding cane right at her, within 10 feet of her cooker. But back then, you see, that mule had to go around and around. They had to have room. Now, it's a whole lot easier now, but it's a whole lot expensive, too.
Linda has a modern enclosed syrup house built by her husband, pumps to transfer the juice to the waiting kettles, and gas ovens to replace the old wood fires. But modern technology doesn't ensure good syrup.
Cooking and skimming has something to do with mm-hmm. it, because if you don't skim it good, it doesn't taste as well. If you overcook it, you can scorch it. You know, if you cook it too thin, if you cook it too thick, there's an art to it.
There is also an art to knowing when the syrup is ready.
When you get that sight in your mind, how that syrup acted, how it boils, when it begins to go to syrup, what we call a goose head. That syrup will come up there, it'll be 6 inches above the ball. Just then, it'll settle down. It'll just go to the bubbles. There'll be a large bubble, but they burst before they get in size. So then it's getting syrup then. And when you get that in your mind, when you see that, you know it's done.
When I see that it looks like I want it to look, and then I cut it off, and we mix our corn syrup with it. If we're going to make the blend, if we're going to do the pure, we just take it up and strain it through a muslin sheet into a big vat so that we can move it to our bottling room. Take it in there and put it into another vat and bottle it up.
Maria Ruiz works capping and labeling the bottles of warm syrup. She and her husband, Jose, lead a crew of 6 Mexican migrants who help Linda during syrup season. Jose and Maria spend from March to December in Willacoochee and then return to their home in Colima, Mexico for Christmas. Before they leave, Linda Polk will have sold out this year's run of syrup. This has been Wiregrass Ways, a celebration of South Georgia folk life. Wiregrass Ways is written by Laurie Summers and produced by Tom McCourt, Craig Klein, and Teresa Sanders. I'm Martha Gibson. This program is supported by Valdosta State University, the Georgia Council for the Arts Folklife Program, and the Georgia Humanities Council. Wiregrass Ways is a production of WWET Valdosta, Peach State Public Radio.